It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. Good morning, JD and the Bush. That Rock Block is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger.
That Rock Block's brought to you by Nirvana, too, by Seattle. Yeah, that's what it is, baby. You got any more of that stuff, minus Pearl Jam?
Could you totally eat, like, hamburger, cheeseburger, fries right now? You could, right?
Me? Absolutely. Not me. Well, I'm a vegan. You know, that's why I look so great now. I eat quinoa and kale, you know.
Let me get my feet up off the ground.
Well, I live on the west side out here. I moved to Santa Monica. Can't you see? My pants are rolled up. My name's Cullen.
Nice pink clam diggers, though, by the way. Or is that Peach?
I changed my name to
Peach?
Cullen. Rafe. Rafe.
Rafe.
Rafe. How do you spell Rafe? Don't worry about it. Go get me an egg white omelet.
Thanks to Crab. Can we say thanks to Crab, one of our listeners, one of the first guys to ever call this show? And this is which one is this? 123? Show 123. That's 123 Sundays.
Feels like
in
a million
row.
Shows I've done with you, though.
I know. I have that effect on everybody, including our boss. But Crab sent us a Christmas card.
Yeah.
We got a Christmas card. We finally got it. Well, you know what they did? They put you tell it. It happened to you.
Well, the Christmas card, they put it in my locker. And normally I only go to my locker, obviously. If I want to do a shot, you know, before the show. But the bottle's empty, so I was like, I haven't been in there for a while. I've been using those little crappy earbuds, you know, that you get off. And it's just,
the free ones that come with your phone?
The free ones, right, get when you fly. Yeah. You know, and I try to pass them off as like Beats. I pass them off as Beats by Dre. You know, I write a little B on them. It just looks so bootleg. So I'm like, you know what?
Wouldn't use a Sharpie.
If I'm going to go get my real headphones here, I open it up and boom, somebody stuck a Christmas card in my locker here. And I was like, wow, how about that? So Crab, probably one of our bestest and first listeners. And
number one.
And then he dug us a little bit and said, although the show has changed.
You know, that kind of happens to these shows. They tend to evolve a little bit.
No, Crab was cool, though. Crab's like, take more calls. We can do that, Krabby Patty. We can. You let us know what you want to talk about, and we can do that for you. After all, L.A., it's your show. We're just the bus drivers.
So Wild Card Saturday really lived up to its name. We'll talk about the Rams second. I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs first because, you know, I thought that the officiating that game, you know, I don't like to play that card, okay? The officiating card. I mean, it is what it is. Everybody deals with the same thing. Mm-hmm. Your bad calls are a part of NFL football, right? Even with all the rules and all the cameras and everything else. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to be overcritical of that because it's just the way it is. So I pop on. That's between walking from across the street to the NBC gig over here this morning in the, you know, in 1 hour, controversial call taints NFL wildcard game. It's like the lead story on Yahoo Sports about how those guys screwed up call after call. I mean, when you look at it, they really did get a couple things pretty grotesquely wrong.
Yeah, my headline would have said controversial career taints NFL game. Alex Smith, okay? I mean, on and on. Broken record that we play with this story all the time.
He's not an NFL elite quarterback. I've been saying this
elite.
For years.
No, of course.
He made me eat it for a little while and then came right back to earth and showed you exactly who he is. Andy Reid showed you exactly who he is, a guy that can't win the game. You got no excuse whatsoever for losing that game. None. Why did they stop running? Rob, let me ask you, football 101, you got a 18-point lead at halftime. What do you think your game plan is going to be for the second half? Maybe run the ball a little bit?
Well, what I would have done, first thing is I would have called the Atlanta Falcons and said, hey, what did you guys do in the second half of the Super Bowl last year? Because we're going to do the opposite, okay? You're going to run the football. That's all you do. Just give it to everybody. Don't
try
to throw it.
They ran the football 11 times in the second half, and three of those were Alex Smith. They gave Kareem Hunt got the ball eight times in the entire second half.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. And what did they do? They threw the ball 72 times and completed four of them, which means every time you have an incompletion, JD, I've seen this before with football, the clock stops.
And they ratchet up the passing attempts when one of their best pass catchers, Travis Kelce, goes out with a concussion for the first half.
Absolutely.
I mean, Andy Reid, you're an idiot.
Yes.
You're an idiot.
Yeah,
then you said after the game, well, there's a million things we need to go over. If I'm the owner of the Chiefs and you have a million things that you need to go over when you had an extra week to practice in a home game, do you know the last time the Chiefs won a home game, Joe Montana was the quarterback?
Yeah.
The last time the Chiefs won a home playoff game was 94 with Joe Montana under center.
Oh, my. I was like four back then. That's, geez. You're talking a long time. I don't even remember.
Maybe.
I don't even remember that, man. Who's Joe Montana?
He's that guy they keep bringing up when they talk about the greatest quarterback of all time and Tom Brady.
He's that guy.
Tom Brady hates Joe Montana, okay? Hates that guy.
Shouldn't anymore. He's got one more than Joe does. But, yeah, that was his idol. You know, go figure. But, no, you're right. With the whole thing in Kansas City. And
pathetic.
I,
pathetic. pathetic officiating, yeah. pathetic coaching by Andy Reid. And I have to say this about Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. One thing that I observed about these guys all season long, mm-hmm. they hang around. They're one of these teams that they don't overwhelm you, but they just kind of hang around. They go down early, then they make a little comeback, stuff like that, and they hang around and keep themselves in the game so they have an opportunity to win. That's coaching 101, too. If you can just stay within striking distance, you can be okay. That's just what they did. They stole that game from the Chiefs.
And what did they do in the second half that the Chiefs didn't do? They ran the football. Huh. Derrick Henry had 156 yards. Yes, yes. 156 yards against that vaunted Chiefs defense. I mean, no excuse for that. It's played in Arrowhead. It's 30 degrees. They got one of the loudest stadiums in the league. That venue is rocking and rolling all the time. Kansas City does this to us every year. I mean, you can't really get too attached to them. But how about the train wreck of a year for the AFC West? You know, Raiders are supposed to win the Super Bowl. They don't even get there. You know, the Chargers play better than we thought at times. Then they came back to their normal selves at the end of the season. The Broncos just, I can't figure them out since Elway's left. They don't got
a
quarterback.
It's a rebuilding year for them. I guess.
Think
the Broncos are in any conversation about anything this year unless you're talking to John Elway.
Well, that defense. The Chiefs
established themselves right in the beginning of the season.
5-0.
And they should have been in the driver's seat all along. And then they went unconscious for about a month and couldn't figure out how to score or win a football game.
Season, isn't it?
It is a long season.
And I think the season's really broken into thirds. Who starts fast, who can sustain it, and then who finishes fast. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, you go through a 5-6 game stretch. What's going on? You know, and it happens with every team.
I don't see the Tennessee Titans going very far in the playoffs. Like, I'm surprised that they advanced at all. The fact that they know how to do what you're supposed to do, and that's number one, get into the tournament. Number two, hang around, keep it close, stay in, give yourself an opportunity to win, and you can, that's the same thing the Patriots do. You know, they don't necessarily always overwhelm people. They hang around, keep it close, and then at crunch time down at the end, they ratchet up and try and snatch the game.
And sometimes they don't keep it close. They spot you like a 25-point lead out of generosity and the kindness of their heart because it's the holiday season. Then they say, hey, let's go ahead and come back. But can you really trust the Titans? Marcus Mariota, I've gone over this with you before. Where did he go to college?
The Big O.
Yeah, the people that have that zero on their helmet. You think it means Oregon. It does mean zero.
It means zero.
I've confirmed that because, again, Oregon's a state full of losers who couldn't hack it. Washington, North Carolina. California, they had to go trap somewhere in between.
Tree huggers.
That's exactly what it is. You and your Birkenstocks you wear up there, Oregonians. But look, he went to Oregon.
Do you see that this Christmas that they make socks for flip-flops now?
Yeah, they make them for everything. Those Tevas.
Flip-flop socks. Sorry to derail you, but flip-flop socks.
No, it's one of those things. But look, bottom line is he's a Pac-12 quarterback, and they went 1-8 in bowl games. So I can't trust him right there for that reason alone. Everything's connected, man, to that awesome bowl season you pulled off. And, hey, speaking of Pac-12 quarterbacks, our boys are leaving. What's going to happen to the state of Southern California?
Don't get me off on that yet. Don't get me off. That's a whole other segment, Rob.
Jumping ahead.
Before that, let's talk a little bit about Wild Card Saturday at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, where the you know what? You want to do that next?
Yeah. Well, we can go on and on and on about it. So you let me know.
I could sit here for an hour and a half and go off on Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. I couldn't give a crap about that team.
Then crab and other people. You're saying, dude, play some Metallica already. Jeez, come on, man. It's a downer. Is this a rock station or a sports station?
Well, then maybe people don't want us to talk about the Ram game at all then, because, you know, that didn't go the way it was supposed to either.
Yeah, we should do that. So hit us up on Twitter for the poll at 95.5KLS. You want to talk to Rams, you just want us to shut up and play Metallica for 2 hours until the Beatles guy comes on, right?
Don't open that Pandora's box, please.
We don't like the results.
All right, we'll come back and talk some more Wild Card Saturday and set you up for Wild Card Sunday. It's 95.5KLS.
Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
No way.
Incredible yet true.
I think I heard Andy Reid in there complaining to an official in the background.
He did, and Alex Smith. I can't believe I've lasted this long with my career. I'm just a sap from San Diego. If I didn't go to high school with Reggie Bush, nobody know who I am. Right? And nobody knows who Reggie is anymore either.
I will.
You know, between 1980... in 2010, again, this predates me here, something special happened in the NFL playoffs. See, but it took expansion to the playoffs for these few teams that take advantage. What was our prize? Yeah, do you know? I do. I'll tell you next on 95.5 KLOS.
Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
No way.
Incredible yet true.
Between 1980 and 2010, something special happened in the NFL playoffs. It did take expansion, though, to the playoffs for those few teams to take advantage. Their prize, well,
between 80 and 2010, six teams won the Super Bowl from the wild card position.
Makes sense.
You normally think it's the number one seed, you know, the guys who have the bye week and home field all the way throughout. But between 80 and 2010, six teams won at those teams.
Who are they?
The Raiders. Denver, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, the Giants, and the Green Bay Packers, all out of the wild card slot. And when you mention those names, JD, a lot of times those guys are number one seeds anyway in division winners and stuff. So it really shows you get in and you have some extra life. All you had to do was turn the TV on yesterday. Atlanta, the underdog.
Yep.
Tennessee, the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams won. Both teams won on the road. Absolutely. Yeah. It's been a great playoff.
Yeah, so far so good. We'll preview some of the stuff for Wild Card Sunday coming up. 95.5 KLOS. It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. JD in the Bush. We do sports on tap Sunday mornings. A little STP for you. That rock block brought to you by Progressive Insurance. They have finally found themselves a new lead singer, so that's good. I'll be looking forward to seeing them perform as well as get in the studio and record some stuff. So
Arlen Pineda?
No, I don't think so.
I still remember that name from like a year ago. It's great. If you don't know who that is,
Arnell.
Damn it! So I didn't remember the name from a year ago. Man, it's close.
No, I wasn't going to correct you, but
that's fine. You're the professional. The Dave's back there. You missed it,
who's
man.
The professional?
You missed? No, you are. Not Dave back there. He's like, you missed it, man. It's the Filipino guy from Journey. Sounds just like him. Doesn't look like him. Sounds like him. Just close your eyes.
All right.
Who's the new lead singer? Tell us.
Saturday. What?
Who's the new lead singer? I didn't know. I'm sure all our fans do. I don't.
I'm ready to talk about Wild Card Saturday, Rob.
Okay. I got you. Two games yesterday. Both road teams win.
Thank you for that update. Actually, I had to listen to your updates all night long.
What's
up with that?
Did you like that?
Well.
Did it put you in the mood?
Want me to tell you the truth?
I don't care.
No. Let's just talk about the Rams.
I always say there's three people's opinions who matter to me in this world. You're not one of them. So go ahead.
You're right. The Rams were favored by 6.5, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah,
in
about
this
a touchdown
game.
Almost.
Let me tell you, just from playing fantasy football, this stuff is so unpredictable. NFL football is so unpredictable. And I don't just mean whether your fantasy team is going to do well this week or not. Mm-hmm. I just mean the whole thing, the whole deal of football and trying to predict winners. I mean, even against the spread. I mean, I don't know if Vegas wins or lose money. We'll talk to RJ a little bit later on and see what happens with a couple of home favorites both losing. I don't know what that means to Vegas. I don't know which way the money really went or anything.
I think they'll still be okay even if they lost, though.
I think they will be all right. Yeah, as far
those
as
casinos are pretty tall and shiny.
They're pretty big. They're pretty shiny and there's a lot of money inside them. But the performance that we're talking about, you know, the Rams didn't melt down as bad as the Chiefs did. The Rams didn't take care of their businesses the way that I want to characterize that. The Falcons were better prepared, and they looked like the more experienced, confident team. The Rams looked inexperienced. I think McVay made some questionable calls. Goff did not look like he has looked in a couple games, but he's kind of been hot and cold, too. You have to remember how young this team is and how exhausted that defense was from the first half. I think that had played a big role in the second half because those guys were on the field like almost the entire first half, just getting worn out. You could see them hands on their hips, you know, gasping for air.
Yeah.
They couldn't get Gurley off like they wanted. He had 43 yards through three quarters and no touchdown.
Yep.
And the Falcons just did a better job of scheming for him because they did the Belichick thing. This is the guy you want to try and take away from them is Todd Gurley because he runs the ball effectively out of the backfield. He catches the ball effectively out of the backfield and winds up in the end zone an awful lot. They were able to do that. I wasn't sure that Atlanta defense was going to be able to travel across the country carrying that Super Bowl hangover baggage and all that kind of stuff. And when I kind of went with the odds thinking, yeah, the Rams are probably going to win this game. And it didn't go down that way. And a lot of it had to do with game flow and game script and Atlanta knowing what they wanted to do and executing that. And the Rams, I think, fishing on offense, trying to figure out what's going to work.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. One thing that people liked about the Rams, they always said this year, JD, is that they're so balanced. There's three parts to a football game, offense, defense, and special teams. The Rams are the best special teams in football this year. Johnny Hecker, their punter, could be their MVP. I mean, honestly, you could say that
he's terrific.
He got him out of some field position
all
issues.
Season.
That kid, number 10, who catches the ball, Farrell.
Oh, my God.
Awful.
Well, yesterday he was. Yeah, you muffed a couple. Mm-hmm. Where was that when you beat my Seahawks 45-7 a couple weeks ago? He's looking like a rock star, dancing his way into the end zone, picking up 30 yards every punt return there. But I do think it was the inexperience. I think it was maybe
the big moment. Key.
Yes, turnovers
key.
Are key.
They are key, but, I mean, what happened? Mm-hmm. They had the Falcons trapped. That punter hit that punt, the first one that they muffed in the first quarter. He hit that punt from about the 7-yard line. Yep. They should have had the ball at midfield. What the hell was the guy doing so far back to where he had to run up and then at the last second calls for a fair catch, then the ball hits a defender. I mean, it's tough to stay out of the way of that kind of stuff, but I mean, come on. You just have to play smarter than that. If you want to win a postseason playoff game, you have to play smarter than that. Instead of having the ball at midfield and ready to get right back into it on top of the Falcons, instead they turn it over and give it to the Falcons practically in the red zone. Awful. I mean, I'm not going to say one play changed the game, but that one play in the first quarter had huge impact on the rest of the game.
Yeah, well, there's a lot that does. And you and I both, UNLV alum guys, we're both degenerate gamblers. We've lost everything from, you know, the family to the house to multiple jobs over it. I get that, okay? RJ's coming on later on, but Jay Cornegay of the Las Vegas Race and Sportsbook used to tell me, he said this, he goes, injuries gets teams to the postseason and keeps teams from the postseason, and turnovers gets you to the Super Bowl and wins you Super Bowls. And if you think about that, the more and more I do, we all know the Packers are good, right? Mm-hmm, they lost number 12, I forget his name, but guess what? They're not in the postseason. We know the Texans are pretty good. They lose 99. They're not in the post. You look at some big, huge key injuries, and there's a reason five of the six teams in the NFC, JD, are different than they were last year. Look, it's a pretty cool thing, but the Rams, let's face it, were healthy the entire year. Gurley didn't get banged up. Mm-hmm. Goff was there. The receivers are. They took advantage of it. You can't blame them for that. They took advantage of what they needed to do. They were neck and neck with the Seahawks, who had five guys of that eight Pro Bowl staff go down on defense, and they pasted them and punched them right in the mouth. You're healthy and get to the playoffs, but then you can't turn the ball over in the postseason. They up the ante there, and a couple turnovers, boom, crucial and key, and that's really what it was.
Especially a balanced team like Atlanta, okay? These guys can play some defense when they want
Underrated on defense,
and a beast to try and contain on offense, because Matt Ryan, that guy will take off running. He showed that a couple of times this season to where when he needs to, he can get it done. Jared Goff tried to do that a couple of times yesterday, and those linebackers are right on top of him. He couldn't really make anything out of it.
Yeah. And thank you to Julio Jones for actually showing up and being the guy that we knew you were. Julio Jones didn't have more than like 12 yards until Christmas.
You know,
now the guy's got like 4,000 yards in three games.
The play that they called for that touchdown at the end was absolutely brilliant, right? I mean, they called the perfect play, and Ryan threw the perfect, you know, they'd practice that thing a million times. He goes, turn around at the pylon, and the ball's going to be on your right shoulder. He did. It was touchdown over.
Matt Ryan's an MVP. Matt Ryan's been there 10 years. Jared Goff has the makings of being an MVP as well. Look, it's going to take some time. Every young team like this goes through lumps, but the Rams will be back. They got a great thing going here. And not only that, this NFC West is going to be fun to watch because we saw the emergence of the 49ers. I know they beat the Rams out last week and they didn't rest anybody, but still, five wins in a row for San Francisco. They're on to something with Jimmy G.
Yeah, for sure.
Arizona, you don't know what's going to happen. Carson Palmer's retired now. David Johnson, Adrian Peterson, they're on their way down. Seattle's getting worse. They're on their way down.
Probably walks away. I mean, Arizona is going to be your cellar dweller next year in the NFC West.
And the Seahawks, I think, may be right there with them because, I mean, Pete's
he's
looking around.
Some money. You spend some money on offensive line,
they'll
you'll
be okay.
Fine.
They'll be okay, yeah. They still got a quarterback.
All right. Still to come in the program, we got to talk a little national championship game. There's a national championship game.
No, there's not. There's a consolation game. We got to explain that
we'll
later.
Explain that coming up. Sports on Tap tonight. Well, the college national championship game will be going on tomorrow night in Atlanta.
Nope.
Unless you are of another belief. Some people believe that that's the consolation game. We'll explain. 95.5 KLOS.
Yowza!
That's not the Yowza song.
Yes, it is. Every song should
They're
be a Yowza.
Yowza song for you.
Yowza's awesome. Still no better song than I used to love her. I had to kill her. We got to play that.
That wound up on one of my lists last weekend. Anti-love songs and
the lyrics are great.
Somehow you know,
there's
got
no
my list.
There's no hidden meaning. You know those songs. You're like, what does he mean by that? Like, she bitched so much, she drove me nuts.
Oh, no,
now I'm happy.
There's nothing hidden in that song. That's all up front.
I used to love.
She's dead, buried in the backyard.
In the backyard.
And I can
still hear her complain. happy Valentine's Day, ladies. Coming up shortly.
Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. Talking about the wild card weekend, we have two games in the books, two more to come today. Buffalo, Jacksonville will be the early game, and then Carolina, New Orleans will be the later game. Break some of that down for you, too, because still on the schedule for, I guess, technically the weekend, the long weekend, the Monday night game, down in Atlanta, the brand new $1.6 billion Mercedes-Benz Dome will be the host of the national championship.
The consolation game.
This is the national championship game. This is Alabama, who's going for another championship against Georgia.
Not if you ask Central Florida. See, because we know Florida does things the wrong way. That's why OJ can live down there, so he doesn't have to pay any of his bill, you know, that he owes the society. Florida's freaky anyway. But the Central Florida, they've taken it to another level. You saw that. Central Florida
went undefeated.
13th in the country. Mm-hmm. They went undefeated. They beat Auburn from the mighty SEC. Mm-hmm. The Golden Knights are claiming themselves as a national champion. They're the only undefeated team out of 130.
But how serious are they about claiming themselves as a national champion?
Okay, serious enough to where they're throwing a national championship parade for themselves in downtown Orlando.
They're gonna have a parade.
Mickey, Minnie's gonna be there. The whole shebang. It's gonna be there. Not only that, they've made up national championship rings. Rings for the team that I'm the national champion when technically you're not, but if you want to believe you are, it's a nice little story you got going there. It's like a participation trophy in soccer. You know, they're going to be throwing Capri Suns and orange slices. And they're going to be telling kids all that crap. Like, you can do anything you want to do, which is a lie. You can't do anything you want to do. You know, just try your best.
Well,
is all we're doing.
You can do anything that's in your budget to do.
It's in your budget.
Like to me.
Money makes the world go around.
Sounds like the Central Florida athletic budget is pretty good if they can go buy a bunch of rings for nothing.
Dude, here's what's awesome. On top of it, too, the coaching staff had it in their contract that if you win a national championship, we're going to kick $350,000 in bonuses and divvy it up between a dozen of you.
They're not getting that, though.
Yes, they are. They're each getting 30 G from the athletic department, and they didn't technically win a national championship.
So
I love Florida.
They just made it up that they won the national championship, and then they turned in the proper paperwork to the front office, and they're going to get their bonuses.
And I've already turned in my paperwork to transfer to Florida. Absolutely. Because anything goes, apparently, in that place. From crocodiles to OJ.
I don't want
to
transfer. I just want to send them a bill and see if they pay it.
I just want to go to Florida. I don't see them.
We talked great about you all season long, and I think maybe about $5K per week. How many weeks?
How's that going to work? Right.
Now, they did play some teams, AD. 75 G's, I think, ought to do.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. No state tax down in Florida, too. You had the math.
I'm sending a bill.
Hey, dude, we
went to
UNLV.
Florida.
We can't count past 21, so just bill them for $21,000. I'm fine with that. So
grand. Each.
Yeah, each. Okay. That still 21. Is 21 times. Hold on. 42,000. Okay. Now, this schedule that Central Florida played, they technically finished 10th now.
See, that's the question. I can hear people out there. Well, who did they play? Who did they beat?
Okay, they beat Memphis, who was number 19 in the country.
All right, Memphis, all right.
Okay, they beat South Florida, who was number 23 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Navy, who seems to beat Notre Dame every year. They beat UConn, who's got like a 100-and-some game winning streak. That's girls' basketball. Okay, that doesn't count. Okay, yeah, they beat SMU. I mean, Jesus, Eric Dickerson went to SMU.
100 years ago.
Well, they still beat SMU. It's kind of the same. They beat Temple. Bill Cosby. Pudding pop.
Let's have some Jell-O and go watch football.
Bill's a good guy. He just ran into a couple legalese problems. You know, so I mean, Bill, they beat him at Temple. And they beat Auburn as well, too. But aside from that,
it's because they beat Auburn. That's what's got them all pumped up.
Yeah, they did. They beat Maryland. Well, we beat a couple teams out of the Big Ten. You beat Maryland.
So
they beat Georgia Tech.
School.
Georgia Tech was good in 75, you know. So I don't know, man. I mean, congratulations to Central Florida. Anything literally goes in Florida. I love the place. I love it. We got to do a remote from Florida. What do you think, man? Can we go down there, do a remote from Florida? There's got to be something.
There's got to be some reason
cool going on, right?
Well, look, if they pay the bill, we'll use the cash to
like buy chicks, mud wrestling, alligators, and themselves at the same time. There's got to be some kind of tournament we can broadcast.
So, if they are the national champions, then the consolation game is what's going to happen at the Mercedes-Benz Dome tomorrow night.
It's actually, it's in
the consolation.
The cool
game?
Thing is in Atlanta, by the way, since this game's on a Monday, Chick-fil-A will be open if you do plan on going. Because unlike the Falcons games, which plays on Sunday, Chick-fil-A's not open.
You know what?
It's horrible.
You could maybe have the chance to be one of the first people served by Chick-fil-A
at the new
dome.
Stadium.
At the
absolutely,
new stadium
you
because
can.
They've been closed every other Sunday.
They've been closed for every stupid football game. Nice job with that sponsorship there, you know. But that's what's going to happen.
Let's put a restaurant in that's not open on Sunday.
They're not giving a trophy out to the winner of tomorrow's game. You didn't know that. No, what happens is if you win, you get the four-piece nugget strips.
Okay, with, box.
In the box. Well, they got the waffle crinkle-cut fries and the frosted lemonade is to die for. And the chocolate chunk cookies, Jesus, I'm getting hungry already.
I'm already hungry. All right, so then the consolation game is what we'll be watching tomorrow night when Alabama, Nick Saban, and his bad hair go to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. Who do you like in that game, really?
If I'm Central Florida, do you not show up to that? Orlando to Atlanta is not a far drive. Do I not show up in my Central Florida gear? We want next! We want next! That's exactly what I do. Shirts and skins, whatever you want to do.
All that money they spent on those fake rings, they should have spent on tickets and brought all their boosters and sat in the front with their gear saying just that. We got that!
Absolutely. You know what? I like Georgia. I have for a while, and I like Georgia defense. Because that, and I like it because you know me, man. I'm an old school guy stuck in the 60s. I love running games. And Georgia has a guy named Sony Michel. You know, it's just fun to say. He spells it like Sony, the electronics.
Right.
And Michel, but he there's nothing Michel about him. He's really, really fast. Nobody can catch that guy. And then they got Nick Chubb. Anybody who's got the
love
name
the
Chubb,
Chubb.
I got a Chubb. Chubb. I mean, come on.
Give the ball to the Chubb.
Yeah, just give it to Chubb. I tell people that all the time. Chubb.
I can't wait for that guy to get to the NFL.
Chubb's a big, strong dude. And then Sony Michel is fast. I mean, their quarterback, Jake Fromm.
And admit it. Yeah. And because they beat Oklahoma.
And they
right?
beat Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma and Annie Oakley and whatever. But Jake Fromm, cool thing with him with his play on words, how we like to twist things. Mm-hmm. We all know Jake from State Farm, the commercials there. That's his kid's Twitter handle, JD. Jake from State Fromm. Is it? He's got a ton of followers, too. The kid's got personality.
That's
I love Georgia.
Terrible.
Go Lugga. Go Bulldogs.
All right. Coming up on the program, hour two of the program, we're going to talk a little bit about the future of a very popular team here in Los Angeles. Although they're not here in Los Angeles, they've got a new coach. We'll talk about that coming up. Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS. Bono and U2 on the Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. Thanks for being with us. JD in the Bush doing Sports on Tap. That rock block is brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. I said this last time. I can absolutely do that right now.
That's what the hamburger's all about, baby.
You know, one of my
They're simple.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want a taco. I don't want this. You got one piece of beef.
They make one
two
thing.
Two pieces of beef.
Yeah.
A Coke or a shake. Shut up. That's it. Four things on the menu. It's like 3 feet
thing
long.
And they kick butt at
yes.
it. Yes. It's a cheeseburger, fries, and a chocolate shake if you're doing it right.
That's it. Thanks for coming.
Well, listen, it's a special day, maybe extended all the way to a special weekend for the Raiders and their fans.
Yeah.
Because they announced it, night before last.
That they're moving back here to L.A., so three teams are all going to play and they're going to share. They'd sell out. You know they would. It'd be scary.
They'd immediately draw more than the Chargers.
No, they would. Boot them out of StubHub.
No, they've made it official. John Gruden will be next head coach of the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. How much of the Vegas factor this do you think figured into Chucky's decision to leave one of the cake jobs there is in all of broadcasting, which is Monday Night Football?
I'd like to think it's not about money anymore because ESPN was paying him a few million a year. Now he's going to make $10 million a year, $100 million over 10 years. Now, granted, $3 million to $10 million is a great raise. I understand, but he's already got so much
honestly,
money. Everything
you got all that money in the bank. I mean, I don't know how that can make such a difference because this is the life that you're going to live.
Ego. You want to do it? Look, coaches like athletes are competitors. I mean, you take guys that retire from the NFL. You've seen them, the Eric Dickersons, the Chris Carters. Mm-hmm. They want to kick your ass on the golf course and rub it in your face. I mean, that's you play checkers with them. They'll punch you in the mouth.
I was just going to say, a friend of mine, Mark Collins, who's from SoCal, used to play for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Parcells used to call him his secret weapon. I know Mark very well. We've played golf and all kinds of stuff. I don't care if it's picking up quarters off the bottom of the pool. He wants to beat you.
Yes.
No matter what it is. And I mean, that's what all great competitors, I think, are like. And you know what? I think what a lot of this is for Chucky, because I was thinking, why would you leave this cushy job? Mm-hmm. The reason is because he's still young enough that he's got it in him that he wants to go back there and prove that, you know what? I can do this again.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of guys out there in the world like me saying that Chucky won that Super Bowl a lot of reasons why he won is because he had the cheat codes for the other team. He had just coached the other team the year before. Right. He knew the tendencies of every single player on that team. He knew what everybody liked, what they didn't like, what most of their plays were, and he worked them in that Super Bowl because he had their playbook.
This should put other coaches on notice, too, that, look, a lot of times you think when you leave a team, you burn a bridge, I'll never go back there. No. Here he is, coming back, and what, 15-some-odd years later, 20 years later, perhaps, he's coming back, and I don't think he's going to miss a beat, to be quite honest with you. The way he breaks down film, the way he looks at things.
Not to mention the fact with John Gruden's quarterback camp, he knows the intimate details about every single quarterback in the league right now. He's going to know his competition a lot better than most head coaches.
How long is it going to take him to scheme for Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold?
You're opening up another can of worms here with those two both declaring for the draft.
USC and UCLA's quarterback.
Yeah. You know, how's he going to deal with that? I don't know. These guys aren't exactly going to go into the NFL and set the world on fire, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to be early draft picks. Rosen may be, I mean, Rosen looks like a guy, that could be really, really effective in the NFL with a good offensive line, but that's not a big guy.
Which is like a lot of people. A good offensive line is a key word too. If he gets stuck somewhere like in Cleveland or crap that doesn't have a good offensive line. Yeah. Here's the thing you got to remember too, JD. These guys lose more in 2 months than they did in their entire college career, maybe even their entire high school career. Darnold killed it at San Clemente. Rosen was at St. John Bosco that goes on and wins the CIF. So it's just, it's amazing. Now you go through losing all the time and people booing you and you suck and you forget and lose a little bit of identity. It's going to be tough. What I do like about Rosen, though, he's original. He's pulling the John Elway. He's pulling the Jerry Maguire right there with the top pick
overall. Let me tell you why I like Josh Rosen. Is because I believe in his freshman year at UCLA, he was busted with a portable hot tub in his dorm room.
Yes.
I want that guy on my team.
Absolutely. He's from Manhattan Beach. He's got to be bougie. You know, I've got to take
awesome.
Probably order sushi every day whenever
that's
he's eating in the cafeteria.
That's one of the football stories I ever read. And
if the girl was in the hot tub, too, I think that would be even better. Yeah. Well, see, the problem,
that part was left out of the story.
It started leaking and went through the roof, you know, down into the other room beneath you. But here's what I like about Darnold, or Josh Rosen doesn't want to play for Cleveland. He's like, yeah, you know what? Don't pick me. Take me fourth or fifth to a team that's got a chance. He'll come out and say that. Darnold, for example.
What did he say? The flip side, right?
And he's like, well, I'll just be happy to play for anybody that plays for me and just picks. I just want a chance in the NFL, which is the nice politically correct thing.
Then,
but you know he's saying, don't pick me,
then
Cleveland.
Then go ahead and go to Cleveland. Then go ahead and go there and embrace losing because you know what? You're going to lose 15 games.
And they embrace
least.
You quite a bit. Speaking of championship parades, they threw a parade of their own, which was awesome. Cleveland went 0-16. Did you see the parade footage?
Let me tell you, this is worth the click.
Oh, God.
If you get a chance, grab the mouse and type in Browns fans, was it Loser Parade?
Yeah, Loser Parade. Loser they threw parade. A parade because they went 0-16. That's hard to do, 0-16. Not
Listen,
win once.
You know what I loved about the parade? They had a Miss 0-16 with a sash that looked like it was toilet paper.
She was ugly, too, wasn't she? Oh, God. I thought for a minute that was my first girlfriend, Wendy Monroe, from back in Spokane. I was like, oh, Jesus. She was ugly, but she whoops, you can't say names. Sorry, Wendy.
Hey, no.
Hopefully she's not listening. She made a man out of me, though, and that's important.
It's more than we need to know. Yeah. A little TMI on the
show. We got a commercial coming up here?
I think right now would be a good time for one. Yeah.
That's what a hamburger's all about.
Oh, boy. More to come. Sports on tap.
Let's go! Timeout is over. Back now to Sports on Tap.
With JD and the Bus.
You want to try real sport? Why don't you try?
95.5 KLOS. Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
Was that Nick Saban I heard in the background?
That was Nick Saban. It was Kirby Smart. You got to root for Georgia. The guy's name is Kirby. Dude,
he said, consolation, my butt.
Yeah, if you got the balls to call yourself Kirby, I mean, you know you're going to get picked on. You know, that's fine. I'm down with Kirby. I'll roll with him any day. Alabama is playing Georgia in the consolation game tomorrow night. Some will call it a national championship. Do you know from 2009 to 2012, Alabama won 3 of 4 national championships?
Yeah.
Yeah, did anyone ever win 4 in a row?
Ooh.
Yeah, 4.
I don't know.
I know, that's food for thought. I'll tell you around. Stick around next. It's 95.5 KLOS.
Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
Did you knit this thing yourself?
Hey, dude, this is
you crochet?
This is a beach sweater. This thing's badass is what it is. It's diesel. It fits me nice. It's nice and soft. Come here. Feel this. No, not that. Feel this. Feel not that.
Get that off of me.
God, this is not a TV show. Alabama, we told you, against Georgia in the consolation pseudo-national championship game. From 2009 to 2012, Bama won 3 of 4. Yeah. Has anyone ever won 4 in a row?
4 in a row?
They have.
No. Oh,
one
really?
School. One school did it. It was Central Florida. No, it wasn't Central
Florida. It's not Central Florida.
Central Florida, everyone won! Okay, it was Yale. Yale, the Bulldogs, the Yale Bulldogs from 81 to 83.
We're talking about football.
I'm talking 1881. Yeah. 1881, no 2, 3. The 1884, they won four in a row. They then lost to Princeton. That's when there were only really two teams that played college football back then. Okay.
Well, that's when the Ivy League was the only thing. Was
the
that
only
was
thing,
good.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And then they went on to win three more. Yeah, the Yale Bulldogs. I went to Yale. You didn't know that, did you? I'm Yale educated, yeah.
Are you?
Meryl Streep and I both went there. We had class together. Oh, she was smoking.
I thought you went to UNLV.
Well, I did, but then that's because I turned Yale down, you know, so I decided to settle
I want that jersey back.
That was very nice of you, by the way. You don't get the jersey back. You just get my, you get my surf cardigan.
Yeah, that's,
Look at this.
Did you knit that yourself?
I did knit it myself.
Or is it crocheted?
Yeah, it's crocheted.
You knit with needles and you crochet with a hook, right? Is that how that works?
Look at this. I'm not wearing any underwear either.
Ah, come on. Nobody needs to see that. God, you're right. Good thing we're not on television.
Well, the ratings would take a spike, right?
Yeah.
Or a dip.
Spike.
Or both.
Go in either direction. We're going to call our buddy RJ Bell and talk
RJ?
About, all things sports in Vegas here coming up in.
He's not there this weekend. He's on the way to the Central Florida parade. Do you know that?
I thought he was going to the Browns parade.
He's hitting that one first.
The 0-16 parade.
With Wendy Monroe. Sweet Wendy.
All right. Still to come, we're going to break down your Wild Card Sunday. Got a couple of games coming up here. And actually, there's an issue with one of those games, too. It seems like we have an issue with all the games.
There's no watch TV.
Seems to be a common thread. Yeah, that's coming up. Sports on Greta Van Fleet. Thank you very much. On the Rock, Southern California.
It's Led Zeppelin, dude. Come on.
Does really sound like Robert
you
Plant.
Think?
Wow, man, I've said that every time that I've played it here.
You think Greta knows
remarkably.
That?
Remarkably. Pardon me?
You think Greta knows that? Has anyone like hit him up on Twitter say, hey, dude, you sound a lot like the Stairway to
Maybe
Heaven
Maybe once or twice.
Once or twice he's heard that. A
couple
okay.
times, probably. Oh. All right, let's take our brains to Las Vegas. RJ Bell is going to join us now. As a matter of fact, this is the guy, when the Associated Press is looking for a number, this is the guy they call. And I'm not saying they're calling him at home to make dinner reservations at their favorite Vegas restaurant. They want to know what's going on as far as the line. This guy provides that. He's also got the Dream Preview over at Podcast One if you want to check it out. RJ, Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us again, man.
Hey, listen, if you're a rock singer and you're going to sound like somebody, Robert Plant's not a bad choice.
That, you know what? There's pretty good advice right there. Yeah, if you're going to sound like somebody, go after somebody who sold a bazillion records, right? RJ, what do you think about this national championship game coming up tomorrow night? I mean, where's the big money going down on this one? Is it Alabama? They're favored by like a couple of points, right?
Yeah, Bama favored by 3.5, maybe 4 in some spots over Georgia. This might be the most amazing stat of the season, guys.
What?
Go back to December 2009. Tim Tebow was with Florida. They played Nick Saban, Alabama. Tebow and Florida were favored. Since then, counting this game, 111 games for Alabama since December 2009. They've been an underdog once since.
Wow.
One time an underdog, 110 times favored. Bama's favorite here again. I think the line's about right. On one hand, if you like Bama, your main argument probably Nick Saban has never lost undefeated against an assistant coach of his that now is coaching another team. So advantage Saban. On the other hand, Alabama's a little banged up on defense. Advantage Georgia. I think the line is right. Bama favored by 3.5.
I think that is a great stat, but you disappoint me a little bit here, RJ. You're slipping a little from last week's stat, which was the coup de grace of all stats. You had said Oklahoma's backup quarterback, and you knew the kid's name, rooms with Baker Mayfield, and if Baker's allegedly sick, why didn't they move him to a different hotel because we've been tracking the rooming list to make sure that he's ready for the Rose Bowl? I was like, man, that is what makes RJ.
Hey. Let's be honest, Baker Mayfield looked pretty good.
He did. Oh, who didn't look good in that game? I think I scored like 4 points. Jesus, that double OT game. Hey, now, I'm asking you this here. Is this considered the national championship in Vegas, or did you guys change all the verbiage and the signage to call it the consolation championship? Because UCF has already declared themselves as the national champions. They're throwing a parade in Orlando. They're giving the guys rings and coaches bonuses because they went undefeated. So how do you view this?
Well, listen, when it comes to paying off on the future bet, it'll be the winner on Monday.
Yeah.
But that said, you got to give Central Florida credit.
Yep.
And it makes me lament because here's the thing. If Central Florida were playing Alabama, they'd probably be, you know, a 13-point underdog.
Yeah.
But listen, Auburn was a 11-point favorite mm-hmm. against Central Florida, and Central Florida won. Mm-hmm. That's why it happens on the field. How much better? Let me pose to you guys a playoff scenario. Five major conference champions get in, two wild cards from the big schools, and then the number one group of five team. The group of five is just the smaller conferences. Mm-hmm. So you'd always, mostly always have the one play against the power or the group of five team. To me, that Cinderella element of it, and all they'd have to do is win three games if it was an 18 playoff, wouldn't that be much more interesting?
Every year there's one. Louisville, Houston, Central Florida, South Florida. There's always one that
Boise.
Wants to. Yep. Yeah, Boise, right. You're right. No, that would be great. Let's see you prove it in your merit and your worth. He is RJ Bell from pregame.com and Podcast One. Does a great job with his NFL and his college picks with us, joining Sports on Tap 95.5 KLOS with JD in the Bush. Hey, we got to talk some football right now. Two games today. Look, I'm a converted Buffalo Bills fan. I know that. This Buffalo Bills team taking on the Jaguars. What say you in this game here? The Bills haven't made a playoff game since 1940, I think it is, and they're taking on a Jaguars team.
Yeah, Truman was president.
Yes.
So Jags favored by 8 in this game. Let me create some context of how average, if not below average, the Bills have been. The Chicago Bears this year were outscored by 56 points on the season. The Bills were outscored by 57. So they've won enough games to get in, but this is not a good team. Their running back, Shady McCoy, as valuable as any running back in years, he is questionable. He's banged up. He should play, but less than 100%. I think Jacksonville has a team built to extend the lead because they run the ball well. They defend the pass well. I don't like Jacksonville if they have to throw from behind because Blake Bortles is not a great quarterback. But in a spot as a significant favorite, I think they grind out the win and the cover. I lean towards Jacksonville.
Wow. Really? And that gigantic point spread.
Remember, guys, in the regular season, I play mostly underdogs. The reason is if a favorite is big, you got to wonder if the favorite is focused. They might be looking ahead. In the playoffs, no favorite is ever unfocused. They're always focused. So you actually, it might seem counterintuitive, most pros are more willing to bet a bigger favorite in the playoffs because they know focus isn't the problem.
Yeah, and has Buffalo already won their Super Bowl? Because, again, they haven't made the postseason since Pearl Harbor. You know, so just the fact that they're there, they're like, Jesus, this is awesome. And, you know, it's one little extra game for them. They are getting out of the fringe of temperatures. I'd rather go from sub-zero down to 70 with all the cute girls in Florida. Would you not?
Yeah, but perhaps a distraction, but you make a good point.
They are.
A really good point, which is most playoff teams, the key is winning that first game, then the next game. The Bills, emotionally making the playoffs might have been the high point of their season.
Yeah. They needed some help, too.
Wildcard Sunday is going to include another game today that should be a pretty good one, too. That's the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. Boy, this one is tough to pick for me.
Yeah, this is a tight one. If it's 6.5, I probably lean towards the favorite Saints. If it's 7, I lean towards the underdog Carolina. And the old saying in Vegas is professional bettors bet numbers, amateur bettors bet teams. I'll take any team if you give me the right number. Saints at home, especially when they're winning, unbelievable. 19-4 against the spread. The Saints at home when they have a winning record. The reason I'm a little worried about the Saints, they don't defend the run as well as you would hope. They're better against the pass. And Carolina, Cam Newton, they run. Mm-hmm. Last 9 games, Cam's only had 2 with more than 185 yards passing. I think this line is about right. This might be one just to watch.
Yeah, New Orleans 7-1 at home, though they're only lost to New England. You know, that's a pretty good team to lose to as well. So they dominate there in the Big Easy. Plus, they say it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a year. They've dominated Carolina. They've beaten them by a combined 31 points. I mean, it's come easy to them, it seems.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. Carolina has a quirky offense, meaning they throw to the running backs a bunch and the tight ends a bunch and not to the receivers as much. Teams that play Carolina the first time, it takes a while to get used to that. But when Carolina has played a team a second time, they've scored less than 17 points a game. Now Carolina is playing for a third time. I think that's a disadvantage for Carolina because now the Saints are familiar with that unusual Panther offense.
That is really breaking it down. Honestly, this is why, if you don't mind me propping you for just a second, RJ, why we have him on. Now you're going to love it.
Please.
This is why we have him on is because, you know, you don't think of this stuff. I mean, these guys are thinking of stuff that we're not thinking, especially when we're walking up to the betting window. But that said, the betting window, you had both home favorites lose yesterday. I mean, we're not going to have a bake sale for the sports books anytime soon, but did they do well or did that work against them, both those home favorites going down?
Well, the public loves to bet favorites. They want to bet the better team. Mm-hmm. And usually, and you can almost assume 100% of the time, here's your guideline. If the favorites win, the public does better, the average better, better. If the favorite loses, the average bettor's in trouble. So favorites lost yesterday. That means those dastardly bookies are counting their money.
Not only that, too. All I got to end with is this. The Rams played 9 games at home this year, RJ, counting yesterday. They lost 5 of them. They lost more than they won at home. They were a great road team.
I think home field's a question for sure.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Last thing for the city of L.A., if you're a Rams fan, the jump they made from last year to this year, one of the bigger jumps we've seen, a lot of reason for optimism.
Can you bet on who's rookie of the year coach? Do they have those kind of prop bets here? You know it's going to be Sean McVay. He's got to have overwhelming odds.
You know, I haven't checked the odds, but, yeah, you can bet rookie of the year. You can bet coach of the year, all of those now. You can bet both in Vegas and online.
I don't know that we've asked you this. I'm going to extend you one more time. There's an awful lot of talk about expanding sports gambling throughout the whole country. I have to imagine you would be against that.
No, I'm for it because that's
really
the same. That's the same logic there was about 20, 30 years ago about riverboats and,
right,
and different casinos.
Uh-huh.
And what we had, what they thought was, oh, who wants to come to Vegas? And then what we found out was it acted as a feeder system, right? If you're sitting in Nebraska playing at some dusty slot machine, it's going to give you the hunger, the taste to go to the big time and visit Vegas. So to me, I'm a Vegas guy, but I'm a sports betting guy first, and I'd rather people at least give the states the choice if they want sports betting. And, oh, by the way, I think California would be one of the first 5 or 7 to say yes.
Okay, well, next week your homework assignment is to explain to me why prostitution is legal outside Vegas by 30 feet, but not inside the damn city. I mean, what's going on with that? Anything goes in Vegas. Apparently not.
I don't know anything about
that. Oh, sure you don't. Okay, well, you got a week to research it.
Of pregame.com, an exclusive odds provider to the Associated Press. Check out the podcast over at Podcast One. RJ Bell, thanks much, man. Always great to have you on.
Thank you, guys.
That's fun.
Terrific stuff. Did you hear when I said, let me give you your props? No, go ahead.
The Oklahoma quarterback backup is rooming with the starter, and he hasn't changed his room because we got somebody guarding down the hall. So if the guy's really sick, he's going to get him contagious. The fact that they have it, he's not really sick. I like him to cover.
He
what?
Gets that info, man. I got another rock block coming up here for you. That last rock block brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and another one is on your way here in just a minute on 95.5 KLOS. It's the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. J.D. in the Bush. We're here every Sunday morning, 7 to 9, doing sports on tap. We got a couple things to wrap up with. Actually, you of all people have a feel-good story.
Is there
a punchline at the end?
I'm a sensitive guy, and I'm all about caring. If I didn't do this, I'd work for the Red Cross, you know, if I wasn't in radio, honestly. I'd be the Salvation Army poster boy. But, look, there's a thing to be...
I wish the audience could see the look on your face when you say that stuff.
Dude, if the audience saw me right now, they would fall in love with me and my sweater
and
all
your
over.
Sweater.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
It's like Weezer.
Go on.
Pull the thread as
go
I
on.
Walk away.
Please don't sing anymore, Weezer.
I hate that song anyway. So, anyway... Ouch. The Buffalo Bills, you heard RJ, have not been in the playoffs since Truman. All right, 1999, actually. The Bills needed some help last week. This was cool. They not only had to win their game, they needed Cincinnati to win at Baltimore. That's not going to happen. Cincy sucks. They got a ginger for a quarterback. Redheads aren't any good at sports. We know that. And guess what happened? Sorry, Justin Turner. Okay, and so
Carson Palmer got one either.
Well, what happened? Cincy wins the game. Buffalo's going ape. They don't know what's happening now. So
Andy Dalton, a great guy, quarterback for the Bengals. Him and his wife have a very nice charity for kids that they have. The Bills fans go on to his page and donate over $325,000.
Say that again. Bills fans, because the Bengals beat the Ravens, pushes the Bills into the playoffs, Bills football fans go on Andy Dalton's charity site and give up $300,000 in donations.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
And what was cool is they showed his wife opening up the email, because every time so-and-so donated this, they're seeing all this stuff. Go Bills, right, thank you, right. Thank you. $100, $500, $1,000. They added it up, 325 G. And that's a great thing. And Andy Dalton put a billboard up in Buffalo, too, and said, hey, thank you, Buffalo. That is a class act, because, you know, like we said, gingers are classy. They're just not great athletes. Okay, but then, well, to top it off, here's what was cool, too. Duff's, which is an awesome, wings place. You and I, when we're in Buffalo, we always go to Duff's. Okay, Duff's donates. They count up all the people there at the Bengals front office. They send, here's a laundry list here, 1,440 Buffalo wings. 60 pounds of celery. I can do without that because it's too healthy. 30 pounds of carrots. I don't need to improve my eyesight. I got pot from my glaucoma. Okay, and then after that, you got 6 gallons of blue cheese. That's awesome. I put blue cheese on everything. 9 pounds of Duff's wing sauce.
Nice.
And a whole bunch of love and thank you that they overnight to the people and fed the Bengals lunch. Thank you, Bills. You got to root for them alone, man, because they're playing Jacksonville. Come on.
Listen, I know that you're very conflicted about the last segment today because you had two stories that you really wanted to get in today, and they're both feel-good stories, too.
Yes.
They really are.
Yeah.
That's one of them. But we have just enough time. If you can do it in a minute, squeeze in one more story that you have about Mike Tyson.
I can. Well, Tyson's a feel-good kind of guy. I love it how he gets up and close and personal, nibbles on your ear, okay? And what Tyson has done, he's got a new venture because apparently acting's not working out for him in the face tattoo parlor
that
there.
Didn't work.
What he did is he has broke ground on a pot farm. On a pot farm
Mike
in California
Tyson's
City,
pot farm.
An hour south of Death Valley, because it's hot as you know what there, right? 40 acres where they're going to have an edible shop. They're going to have educational classes teaching people how to grow their own.
It's going to be a pot resort.
It's going to be glamping, too. You're going to be able to camp out there and have all the amenities you need. So ladies who love to glamp, those of you in Orange County that don't want to get dirty, and you can still watch your Kardashians, satellite TV, everything, let's all make it a point to go out there. I want to try to get Iron Mike on. Can we get him in the studio?
Would love to have Mike on the show.
That would be awesome.
Would love
absolutely
to have him. Maybe he'll sing for us.
Maybe
I'm sure we can play In the Air Tonight for him, which we know is his favorite song.
He may
song.
Bring some edibles.
Time for us to go. That's it for show number 123 of Sports on Gap with JD and the Bush. Coming up next, a real radio show on KLOS. It's Breakfast with the Beatles and Chris Carter on 95.5 KLOS.